The word today is stand. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. It's difficult these days to stand up for what is right. It would probably be easier to just ignore evil. But God expects His people to be strong and courageous. Hear from our archives, with a challenge for us to take a stand for God, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Stand.
You know, there are so many things going on in our world that require for people to stand up and be counted. Now, I have to say a word. I can assume in the many thousands that are listening to this broadcast that among them are going to be some clergymen. Maybe it's a certain day you're listening, or maybe a certain time. Maybe you're homesick. I just want to say a word to my fellow clergymen, to those that have been ordained into the ministry. Whether you're an evangelist, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a missionary, I want to say a word. Please don't let this come across as condemnation. I just want to urge you, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are committed to God, stand up for God. I am very concerned that there are many of our clergymen that are not taking a stand. I don't hear too many sermons about hell anymore. I don't hear too many sermons against pornography. I don't hear too many sermons against homosexuality or divorce or immorality. I don't hear strong standards. I believe the church has been influenced by the world in which we live. Now, it's not supposed to work that way. God has put the church and brought His people into this kingdom in order that we can influence the world. That's the way it's supposed to work. But too often, I suppose in some cases there's fear. I know that some pastors have been intimidated, even by their own people once in a while. I think that's a horrible shame. I believe every pastor should stand up in his parish, and if he has a group of people that have gotten together, four or five strong individuals have said, "Pastor, we don't want you to preach about money. We don't want you to preach about divorce. We don't want you to say this. We don't want you to say that." I think if the pastor does not stand up to them and say, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm not here to just tell you things you want to hear. My vow and my allegiance and my ordination is to God in heaven, and it is to Him that I first must take my message and make sure it meets with His approval. What effect it has on you, how you accept it, quite frankly, isn't the key point. The key point is, after I'm through preaching, can I go back into my private prayer and say, "Okay, God, did I say what you wanted your people to hear?" We need some pastors with guts. We need some pastors with strength and firmness. And it's with this in mind that I'd like to have you turn to Exodus, the 17th chapter. Exodus 17. Now, there's so much in this chapter. Actually, let's begin at verse 8. Let's begin at verse 8. This is the situation. They are at war against Amalek. Now, Amalek was an enemy, and a formidable enemy. And Moses knew that they're going to have to fight Amalek. And so Moses says, "Get your army together, call the men together, and go against Amalek." Now, a strange thing was happening. When Moses would hold up his hands in prayer, the Israelites would progress, and they would be winning. And he was exhausted and tired, and he'd let down his hands, and all of a sudden, Amalek and his soldiers would begin winning. And so the battle's going back and forth. And now Moses takes a stand, and this is so important. Now, you can imagine that Amalek, the person he would just love to kill, would be their opponent's leader, Moses. if they could get Moses and kill him, why, they'd just totally defeat the army of the Israelites. And so you would almost expect, if Moses was a coward, he would say, well, I certainly don't want to get anywhere near the front lines because that's very dangerous there and I could get hurt. Well, Moses is not a coward. And Moses believed God. And Moses knew his protection was in the hands of God. And so notice what he says. He says, I am going to stand out in public view on top of this hill so that everybody can see me, including the enemy. And I'm going to be holding my hands up in the air so that God will bless us and give us the victory. He doesn't run and hide. He's not a coward trying to sneak away. He wants to be in prominent view. I would say, and I want to say back to the pastors again, brother, in the name of Jesus Christ, take a stand. Take a stand against those things that God is opposed to. Take a stand against them and stand firm and stand publicly and stand strong. Now, in this case, and of course, you're going to be attacked. Of course you are. The world hates such guts, and they'll try to dethrone you from your stand and from your position. They would love nothing more than to topple you. And so God knows that. And look how God protects Moses in this case. God sends two people, Aaron and Hur, H-U-R is how that's spelled. Aaron and Hur come up to the top of this hill and they realize that Moses is getting fatigued. They take a big boulder, a big rock, and they have him sit down on it and they hold up the hands of Moses. They know Moses is exhausted, and yet they know the importance of having his hands extended toward heaven, and so they hold up his hands. Now notice what happens. First of all, and it speaks there that Moses is holding the rod of God. By the way, whether you say rod or staff is immaterial, we understand that this is the symbol that God is using for his power in the hands of Moses. It is another way of saying the word of God, the word of Almighty God. If you want to trace that through the book of Exodus, start at the fourth chapter of Exodus. As a matter of fact, in the fourth chapter of Exodus, you'll see that there are many signs. It doesn't tell us what all of them are. It just says there are many signs connected with this rod, this staff. In the seventh chapter of Exodus, this rod, this staff, is mentioned again. And here is where it is used to turn the water into blood. You see how God is using this kind of as a visible symbol, so to speak, that when Moses hits the water, it turns to blood. God's power is active there. And so this is a symbolic thing that Moses is holding this in his hands. In the eighth chapter of Exodus, you'll see it refers to lightning, a storm, and probably the most significant in the 14th chapter. You can go through all the plagues while you're in this section of Exodus, by the way. But in the plague, at the end of the plague, so to speak, and Moses is now told by Pharaoh, go on, get out of here, because the firstborn of all the Egyptians had been killed. And now they're on their way. It is this rod, this staff again, that is mentioned in the 14th chapter of Exodus, where Moses hits the water and the water parts. And the people of Israel are able to go through on dry land. So don't think this is a meaningless point where we're talking about Moses going to this hill and prominently holding his hands upward. This rod, this symbol of the might of God and the word of God is what's in his hand there to demonstrate God is going to give us the victory. And that's why Aaron and Hur go up there and hold up his hands. You know what? I just want to make this application again to my fellow clergymen. When we take a stand and we take our stand on God's word, we hold God's word, so to speak, in our hand, the Bible, and we say, this is what we take our stand on. This is the power of Almighty God, his creative word, his redeeming word, His saving word. This is the word that we represent and that we will announce to anyone who will listen to us. Now notice, the minute you take that kind of a stand, the enemy is defeated. The enemy is defeated. Satan cannot stand up. He can rebuff, and he can agitate, and he can tempt, and he can do all kinds of things, but he cannot defeat us if we stand in God's word and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. There is no possibility of Satan destroying us or robbing us of our salvation. So there is a great hope in this. There is a great evidence that God delivers his people. And then notice also that this is to be remembered. Moses builds an altar there. He builds a monument there. We will never forget this, God. You delivered us. You saved us. You helped us. When I've had a series of difficult days in my ministry, I will usually take one of my rock collections, one of my beautiful rocks I've been collecting for 30, 40 years, and I will put it on my desk prominently, and I'll call it my Ebenezer Stone. In other words, God, you've helped me up to now. Up to now, you've blessed me and helped me. Now, please, God, let me remember this so that I don't get defeated now, so that I don't get discouraged now, I don't get dismayed and disappointed, God. Let me, when I look at this, it would be like looking at a cross or looking at a picture of Jesus or looking at anything that reminds you to return your heart to God and remember his blessings. I think that's one of the greatest things people can do for their children, is to review for their children how God has blessed us, how he helped us in this time of need, how he delivered us in this illness, how he strengthened us when we were weak, how he was constantly with us and carried through this problem and that problem. Let the children hear you review how God has helped you and has blessed you. Take a stand for God.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. That's thewordtoday.org. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.